Sweden has a long history of assisting refugees. For example, more than 18,000 Iraqis applied to live in Sweden last year, and nearly 3 out of 4 applicants were accepted. It means that Sweden took in more Iraqis than any other European country, in fact, many times more than the U.S. did in the same period. But this year, Sweden's changed its laws, and as Deirdre Kennedy reports, it's going to be harder for asylum seekers to stay.
Imad Al-Zakawi, a former police officer, arrived here 2 years ago. He now lives in a tiny seaside hotel room where he introduces his 12-year-old daughter and 2 young sons.
This is my oldest son, Ahmed, and this is the youngest one. They are kidnapped with their mother, and they put the gun in their head and tied their eyes and took them in, and now inside.
Imad was already in Sweden waiting for permission to bring his family when a gang of men stormed his home in Baghdad and grabbed his wife and sons at gunpoint.
They released my 2 sons after many hours, and my wife, till now, I haven't no information about her fate. I have no information about even her dead body. Many persons from my neighbors there, they told me, your wife is dead. They killed your wife.
Shortly after the kidnapping, Sweden granted his asylum request. The Red Cross helped get his children out of Iraq. As a Sunni Muslim and a police officer, Imad was a constant target of death threats from Shia militia in Iraq. He says he can never go home. Imad tries to console his children with promises of a great future in Sweden.
It's difficult. My children all the time they are crying. They want their mother. We are waiting for good things for us. The Sweden government promised us to get apartment and to get schools. So just I make them hope and feeling good.
Sweden's reputation as a benevolent host has drawn 20,000 Iraqi asylum seekers a year since the Iraq War began. Until recently, it rolled out the red carpet for 97% of them, granting them asylum, and with that, welfare, work permits, Swedish language classes, counseling, school and daycare for their kids. Many converged on Malmö because it already had a large Iraqi population. Raya Sundman heads the city's Office of Integration.
We have a special employment office for new immigrants in Malmö. We also have a special project. You have Iraqis telling Iraqis how it is to arrive here, things good to know, difference between our things, the way that we think, and so on.
This year, the courts tightened the immigration laws. Oscar Ekblad, who heads a division for asylum procedures with the Swedish Migration Board, says now each applicant has a much higher burden of proof that they face danger at home.
Many of the same reasons that were put in front of us a year ago, we've matured and have decided not to judge them as serious as we would in the beginning. This is also cumulative with the fact that the security situation in Iraq has been better since last summer.
In fact, Sweden has ruled that there is no longer an armed conflict in Iraq, so 50% of those who apply for asylum will be turned down. That's left thousands waiting in limbo. Ekblad says his department is doing all it can to decide asylum seekers' fates within 6 months.
Because we have found out that people are being grinded down in our procedure. I would say in an inhumane way, people don't know whether they get to stay or not. And not knowing, I think, is one of the worst psychological pressures you could have.
But Sweden's compassion doesn't end with a slammed door. It's offering Iraqi families up to $8,000 to resettle them back in their homeland. For The World, I'm Deirdre Kennedy, Malmö, Sweden.